Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages, or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the Word of Truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3, 12 and 13. "Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden?" These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary, and as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1, 9. End of chapter 4.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on Advent Thursday Altar Form. Now we are so thankful to the Lord as we gather here this evening to give him all the praise. He is so good, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. He kept us throughout the day. So we are going to praise the Lord tonight by giving him all the praise, because all praise go to him. So we will have a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father in heaven, we just want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want to bring honor, glory to your wonderful name. We want to thank you for keeping us, Lord, throughout the day. We want you to thank you for providing for us our many meals. We want to thank you for this opportunity that you gave unto us that we can gather at your welcome table to sing praises and to testify about the goodness of the Lord. Lord, we just want to praise you. We bring honor and we bring glory to you. You told us in your word, we are two or three gathered together doing the things concerning your will. You are in the midst, and we know you are in the midst this Thursday night. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We praise you and we bring glory to your wonderful name as we do our opening scripture, brothers, and on this line this evening, dear Lord, with our brothers and our sisters. Help us, Lord, that we all participate and share your goodness to each other. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayer. Amen. Good. Welcome again, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. God is good. He's so great. He have allowed us to be here. And you know what? Before we start to read our scripture and our opening song, I will just read this. I was reading, you know, we know that tonight is a Hell Thursday night, and I was just focusing my mind upon, you know, we have Genesis 1:29-30 and also John 1:4 and Revelation 23. But I was just looking on Samuel 1:2, right? And this little thought in Samuel 1 is stated here, comforting word, you know, how God speaks to his children. And, you know, all his children have to do is to be obedient, because I knew that he had spoke to us, Lord, in these reading that we came on this line every Thursday night, and by reading Genesis, what he had provided for us, for both for meat and also for health. And he also shows in 3 John 3 that, you know, he loved to know are here when his children settle in the truth. And also, you know, he gave us the instruction. And in John, in Revelation 22:1-2, he told us about the tree of life and the river and the stream and the leaf is for the healing of the nation. So as I was going through this little part, it said here, although God did not always call us by the sound of a human voice. He speaks to us through his word, right? Sometimes it's not the human voice, but we just have to be grateful at the word as we have been reading and studying his word. And in his word, we found light. In his word, we found strength. In his word, we found guidance. You know, he speaks to us clearly through his word, and when we receive his message, we must be ready, right? What? Ready to listen and act upon it. What? You know, we'll listen to his message as we come on this line, and not just hear the message and the truth that God wants us to settle in. He wants us to react upon it and also to go and share and tell others. So I thank God for his word, my dear brothers and sisters. I thank God his word in both the Bible, because we know that the Bible it is the great, great, great means in which we can build our character upon his word. And also the prophecy, the testimony of Jesus Christ, that is what going to guide us so that we will be ready and rooted and grounded to do his will. So I just want to share that. that his word is there, so we have to continue to study his word. So we will read a scripture. My dear sister, I'm going to open your line, ask you to read Genesis 1, 29, 30, and I will read the others. Right? I'm going to open this line. We are going to share tonight and wait for the other brothers and sisters. 518-482, your line is open. Would you like to read the opening scripture for us, Genesis 1, 29 to 30?
Genesis 1,
25
to 30?
Genesis 1, 29 and the last part of 30. You can read 30. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we saw, as we just read a while ago, my dear beloved sister, what God speaks to us through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He speaks to us through his word, right?
Yeah.
And he wants us to take all these instructions and be obedient with it in his word. So God is, he loves us so much, right? So mm-hmm. I am going to read 3 John. Thank you, my dear beloved sister, for reading that scripture. You know, I'm going to read 3 John. It said here, "The elders unto the well-beloved, Garlus, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. For I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." But what he do? He speaks to us through his word. And wherever we're in the Bible, we can find it. If we open the Bible and search scripture by scripture, we know and we can find what Jesus is talking to each one of us individually, right? So we are encouraging our brothers and sisters on this line. Had been Health Thursday, where we can also say that tonight is the Health Thursday, is the right arm to the gospel. So we are asking our brothers and sisters to, you know, let God speak to us through his word, that we can study his word well equipped for this time that we are living in. So I want to thank you, Sister Consinelli, for also reading. We have 22, but we will open again, my dear sister, if you could do your song now, or the opening song. You know, we ask you if you could just do your singing now for your song of opening to open up our program. Sister Consinelli, your line is open with your song, opening song.
Okay.
We're
Thank you,
changing
Sister
Paula. Yeah, we are trying to change up some ways here, right?
Thank you, thank you. I'm going to sing, "We Are Living, We Are Dwelling." I won't sing all the words, just some of them.
Yes.
We are living.
Yeah.
We are living. We are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age of ages failing, to be living is sublime. Hark, the waking up of nations, him. There's a fountain of salvation and the mighty God from Sheol. Let the breathless peace be on thee, take the Spirit sword in hand. Boldly, fearlessly go forth in Jehovah's strength to stand. Christian Rome's fight in this warfare, seize the till the victory's won. Kiss your captain loud, proclaim it, servant of the Lord, well done. He alone who thus is faithful, who abided to the end, has the promise in the kingdom and the eternity to spend.
Okay, you want me to do anything else, Sister Paula, at this time?
Amen. Amen. We are living, right? We are dwelling. What in that, the number?
The number is 359. We are living, we are dwelling. I don't know if in the old hymn book. I have the old hymn book. 359.
Okay. All right. 359.
595.
Yeah. Hark the voice of Jesus calling, right? Is it?
No. Let me see.
No.
Let me see.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a different one, this. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, God is good. All right. Thank you, my dear sister, for presenting their song. And you can lead us in prayer. Another prayer?
You want me to pray now? Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we keep up until our brothers and sisters can't come in.
Okay. Father, we come to you, evening, thanking you for your wonderful watch care over us during the past days of this week, Lord. We thank you for keeping us safely. We thank you for bringing us on this line together. We may be few in number, Lord, but we know your presence is here with us this evening. And so we invite your presence with us here, that you will help us, that all who come on this line may be able to contribute something that will be of encouragement to each other. Father, indeed, we are living and we are dwelling in a grand and awful time. And we know this is no joke, because when we look around, Lord, and we see what is happening in our world today, we know we are living in the end of time. We don't have to go to our prophecies to find out what is going on. Just look around you. What is going on in the news? We are hearing so much, Father. But we want to thank you this evening that we can come before you to raise our voice in praise and thanks for the wonderful way in which you have been keeping us, and that you will help us, that we will be awakened from our sleep, Lord, and that we will get busy in telling others of your saving truth, Father. We know, Lord, that as we look around us, we see things are not getting better. Nothing is getting better. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for keeping us safe. And this is no boast. We can't boast about this, because the devil is all around seeking whom he may devour. But, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for keeping us. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with us, each one of us who come on this prayer line tonight, that we will sober up, because we are really living in days that we should be living as though each day we should be living as though it is our very last, because as soon as we turn around, we could hear somebody die, something is happening, some accident. And Father, your children are passing away. Many are passing away without the joy of knowing you, Father. And this evening, Lord, I pray that you will be with us and help us that we will get serious, Lord, and try to do as much as we can to save some soul for your kingdom, Father. As we look forward into the world, Lord, as we look on the news and we see what is happening, Lord, we see so many souls are passing away. It makes me feel sad, Father, because many of them are going to Christless grave too soon, Lord. They don't know about you. And it makes us feel sad to know that these people are dying without a hope. Father, please help us that we will get busy in telling others, telling someone day by day about you and your saving grace. Be with those who are in the war area, Father. We pray that you will give them peace of mind. Give them a hope and help them to prepare themselves that even if they die now, they will live again. Help them, give them that hope, Lord. Help them to prepare themselves. But we know that some of them cannot prepare themselves because they do not know you. Father, into your hands, we place everything, every situation into your hands this evening, that you will have control and that you will breed peace and comfort to those who are sick, those who are suffering, those who are dying. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen your people, especially those who are called by your name, Lord. We pray that you will be with them in a very, very special way. Be by their side. Comfort them, Lord, and breed hope to them. And help them that they will look forward to that day when there will be no more war, no more sickness, no more sorrow, Father. For this, Lord, we place them all into your care. And we place this meeting into your care, that you will bless it, strengthen all those who come on this line this evening. May we have a great time in hearing your word and listening to the encouragement that we may get to keep our eyes fixed on you. And we just want to thank you, Father, for Sister Powell and all her associates, Lord, that you will bless them and help them that this line will keep going. Don't matter how many people's on it, Father, we pray that you will continue to be with each one. And we thank you, Lord, for hearing. And we thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Consonelli, for singing and also for that prayer. If there is no other time we need God's word, no one is prayer and his love and his mercies, no, my dear sister. And also thank you for praying and lift up those people in the war zone. Brothers and sisters, they need our prayer. Those people, when you look and you saw those people in group, in bulk, when you saw the children, and there are some of the people running without anything, my dear sister and brothers on this line. They have no clothes. They have nothing, just themselves trying to get a shelter, you know. So I am asking and pleading on our brothers and sisters, let us lift up continually those people in Ukraine and also those in Iraq, in Russia, Lord, and those war zone area that they are fighting themselves. But we thank God that we have a God who have given unto us his word. And he told us that, you know what? All these things is going to happen. He shows us in Matthew 24 that these things is going to happen. We're going to see war, rumors of war, earthquake, pestilence, and all these things. And even those times, and we will see it rapidly, my dear brothers and sisters, but he said the end is not yet. Look up. you know, no one know, but we know that his coming is very near. All the things that my dear sister just pray about that is happening all around us, we know. And as he told us in Revelation 22, we can do a little reading, and he showed me a river, a pure river of water of life, and that river is clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on other side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaf of it were for the healing of the nation. Brothers and sisters, God had prepared the healing for our sickness, our diseases, and all these things that he loves us so much that he provided, and it is there for us to be obedient that we can use it. And he said, and there shall be no night, dear my sister. Those people will not be able to be running about without any clothes, only that is what is on their back, you know, and also their children. He said, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And there shall be no night, dear my sisters and brother on this line, no night there, all right? What will be? No night there. We don't need a candlelight. We will have the light from the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever, my brothers and sisters on this line. You know, if we be faithful, God is going to allow us to reign forever, where we will not be seeing all these things that is happening on this earth. And he said, unto me, these sayings are faithful, and these sayings are truth. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of this prophecy. So, brothers and sisters, God is able, and he wants us to be faithful, and we can feed upon his word as we heard it, what he told us a while ago. He spoke to us through in the written word, and his written word is in the Bible and also spirit of prophecy. So I just want to thank God for what he has done. I'm going to start open my line. Welcome, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on this line. I'm asking you please to press number one that I will be able to open your line. 985, your line is open. Can you share your name and where you're calling from?
Good morning. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for his mercy. Thank him for watching over us last night and waking us up this morning. Lay it down, girl. And just want to thank God for school babies being disobedient right now, Lord. Forgive us where we fall short of glory. I just want to read a prayer. Dear God, in times where I am at the crossroad in my life, I ask that you will give me the counsel that will help me make the right decision. I do not desire to go in the way that is not pleasing to you. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn it down. Big Jack, turn it down. Whatever loud, turn it down. Who's on something loud? Lord, I just thank you for saving me. I just want to thank the Lord for us coming on here this time of night. The children, sometimes they get overwhelmed when they're being bad, and you discipline them, and then they want to continue at the most convenient time. But I thank the Lord for my discipline, because without the grandma's discipline, the mothers just let them go, you know, and took a long way without discipline. And I'm glad I'm in their life so I can discipline. I just thank God for blessing us, and thank him for watching over us. It's like a prayer for me and my family. It's been like family. We ask for blessings for the sick, the homeless, all the ones into the bridge and everywhere. I just want to ask for blessings for all the nursing home and hospitals. Just ask God just blessing to everyone. I'm short for words. Just want to thank God. I can bless each and everyone. Thank you. Amen. Brother John, he's coming out of the cold. Took some medicine. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John. We will be praying for Brother John. Thank you. And I heard the children, them, dear Sister Brenda, so I'm going to open this line and asking my dear beloved sister if she could just sing a song for that little child, the little children. And Sister Brenda, you can just get them there that we sing their little song for them. 423-635. I'm asking you, please, if you could tell your name and where you're calling from, and if you could sing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know" for the children. We want to let the children know they are a part of us, and we welcome our little precious jewels on the line, you know, and let us cheer them up.
Yes. Hi, good evening. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Powell. Good evening. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee, and I am so grateful. I'm so thankful for the love of God and for his long-suffering with each and every one of, and I'm just thankful that I'm able to join on the line, and God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. Okay, did you want me to sing now?
Yes, for the children. And then you can finish here.
Okay, yes. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, in yellow, red, and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus loves you, boys and girls, and I just want to let you know that Jesus said he'll never leave you or forsake you. He said that you are the apples of his eyes, and he loves you, and he wants you to be obedient to your parents and to your guardians. He wants you to have reverence for them, respect them, and also reverence for him. And I'll just like to pray with the children, Sister Powell.
Yes, sure.
For the children, yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each boys and girl on this prayer line this evening. I thank you for them, O Lord. I ask that you will cover them with your precious blood, Lord. I ask that you will touch their little hearts right now, that they will come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord. Please forgive them of their sins, their iniquity, Lord. Help their parents also. Forgive the parents, O Father. May they raise up these boys and girls in the way that you will want them to be raised, so that they can glorify you, O Father, so that other kids will know that they have a personal relationship with you, Father. Please, again, bless each and every one of the little children and bless their parents and guardians, Lord, and we are your children. I ask that you will bless us and touch us in a mighty way, Lord. May we surrender all our cares to you, our thoughts, our wants, our need, O Lord. May you have mercy upon us, O Lord, that we will be able to stand, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel, that we will go out to tell the dying and the lost, those that are lost, O Father, or that are going down the broad road, that there's a better way. There's someone that loves them and point them to you. You said if you'll be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you, Lord. May we lift you up in our life, in our dress, in our eating, Lord, in our daily living situation. May we lift you up so that there will be no cause to cast a blame on you or on your name, Father. May we live that Christian life, that Christ-like life that you would want us to live in our daily living. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. We glorify, we magnify you today and each and every day. May we live to glorify you. May we live in your presence, O Father, that we will not be ashamed to be called Christians, to be called Israel, to be called children of God. You said without holiness, no one will enter into heaven. No one will see you. Help us to be holy as you are. Help us to be sinless and blameless, O Lord. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay, I finished, Sister Carla?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Just keep me in prayer. God is good. You know, it's been the week is not over, but it's been an eventful week, and I'm just thanking the Lord for providing. Just today, I had to get my brakes fixed, and the mechanic told me it was another issue wrong with my brakes, and I was like, Lord, have mercy. But He provided, and I'm just thanking Him for me being able to assist the Smith family as he will be going to Atlanta tomorrow, but that I was able to assist him and encourage him. And it was such a nice day today. I was able to sit in the sun with him, and he was telling me the history about the property and the land and the house, and we were just basking in the sun. And I just remind him, you have to give God the glory and the praise, because he was weak at a time, but now he's strengthened. He got a shower yesterday, and he's a little bit more vibrant. He's eating, and I'm just thanking the Lord, and I'm just thanking him for meeting him and just, you know, for whatever reason, for me to have met them and be that person in their life to continue to point them to Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Carla, for singing for those precious children and encouraging them, and also giving praise, Lord, for what God have done for your patient, Lord, you know, that he's doing much better, you know, and also your brake, you know, the car, because in this time, you have to have good brakes. I thank God that you was able to get through all these things and give. And we can just give God praise. He promised that he will take care of his children, my dear sister, and that we can prove it, that he loves us dearly, and that is what he is doing. So I just want to thank you for sharing, and also thank you for joining us tonight. Brothers and sisters, we are going to open the line. All we know tonight is Health Thursday night, and we are asking each one to press number one if they want to share a teach a minute, some of the things that they use, you know, to boost their immune system, and also some of the great praise reports, right, by going out there in the field and sharing literature book and encouraging our brothers and sisters, and also by praying for each one of us. So we're giving you guys a teach a minute. We want to give enough time for the message tonight, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. So we are going to encourage you to press number one that you can share. 240-98. 8, your line is open. Can you name where it's calling from?
How to do, beloved. This is Steffi calling from the Maryland area. Thank you so much, Sister Powell, for opening up my line. Thank you, Sister Carla, for that prayer and for that praise report. It is always a blessing to hear when, you know, we give the testimony and the praise report of how God has been working in other people's life and has been answering prayer. And we know that there's so many things that are going on around us, right, that can make us become overwhelmed or anxious or worried or troubled. But if we continue to keep our eyes up on Jesus, we know that he will be faithful to keep us, to carry us through any storms or any trials or any tribulation. I had watched something from out of Jamaica, this young man and his family, and the way how they were living, just the hardship that they were going through and have been experiencing for, you know, for years. But this young man, one of the things that they talked about, the teacher talked about, that she did not know he would come to school clean, he would be on time, he would work his hardest, and he was so proud in whatever he did it to the best of his ability. And that really, I had to be reflective, and I had to look and be introspective, right, and look at, why am I going to complain? Not that I can complain. Not that there aren't things that are not going the way that I think it should go. But when you look at other individuals and look at what they're experiencing, I mean, today tears were coming down my eyes when I was looking, watching the video of this young man and the way how they were living. But he was so humble, right? He was so humble. He was so thankful for the fact that he has life. And so that is my take, and that is what I do, you know, as I go into these different lifts, you know, and God has opened up opportunities for me to meet so many Lyft drivers, so many Uber drivers, and the first thing I go in and I'm saying, you know, after I say good morning and good afternoon, it's God's blessing, peace, and love to you. And I am so thankful, right, to be able to be alive. And I know that it is God, because many did not wake up today. And I don't care whether they don't believe in God, whether they're Muslim, whether they're Catholic, whether they're atheist or whatever it is, they can always connect with that, beloved, right? The fact that they woke up today and many did not wake up today. So I don't care what your doctrine or your philosophy is, somebody woke you up today. Amen? And it was God. And so I'm always able to trickle that in as I meet and as I interact. And so I just want to thank God, you know, for his many blessings. I know I've asked you all to pray for me. I was very ambitious, and I'm taking these three, postgraduate classes. And it's been rough. Amen? But when I saw the story, from this young man, where he was studying, had no light, and he was using the kerosene oil lamp to be able to study, right? And I'm like, I have electricity. What is my problem? You know. And so, I've asked you all to pray. You all have been praying for me. These classes are difficult, because it's a lot of reading, and the timeline, there's no specific timeline, like they give you a couple months to do it, but there's no, and I like timeline, so, you know, yeah, I want to be flexible, but give me, like, you know, 2 weeks and say I need to turn this in, or a week and I need to turn this in. So you have to read like the whole entire book, but the books, and it's like three books. And so I am so thankful that God has answered prayer. And I petition him, and I ask him to give me the wisdom, give me the knowledge, give me the strength, give me the just the insight, and just his ability to do it, because I know I can't do anything on my own. And so I submitted one of the first tasks, and I read the syllabus. I read what they said, and they were like, if you get at least one A on one of the different modula, you would be able to earn an A out of the class. So I am thankful to God that, I mean, I'm telling you, it was really daunting to me. I was able, I checked my grade, and I was God had allowed me, let me put it like this, because I know it's not me, because I didn't know what I was doing. Let me share this with y'all. And he allowed me to earn 100 on that first modular. So I thank God and I ask you to continue to pray for me, because I have several more, like what, 3, 6? I have like 8 more modulars that I needed to do to get it done, you know, before April, before next month. And so I ask you to pray for me. But I know that through Christ Jesus, I can do all things, not by my own strength. And now as an educator, I really literally see what my kids are going through, the kids that I teach, my own kids. It's a lot. You know, it's very overwhelming when you have to read like 21 chapters or you have to read, you know, 12 chapters at a time and to be able to respond. And I'm not that type of learner, right? I want you to give me a couple chapters. Let me read. Let me knock the stuff out. And so God is stretching me, right? God is expanding my territory so that I can see the need for him and continue to seek him, continue to hold on to him. So I ask you to continue to pray for me. And I don't know, Sister Paula, this year we just lost another family member. And so we ask you to pray, you know, as the family is grieving. But we know that we don't grieve like the world grieves. Amen. And so we ask you, Lord, we ask you to pray to our Heavenly Father, asking him to strengthen us through this time. Give us his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding as we go through this time. And just for the protection, we pray for our youth. We pray for bereavement. We pray for marriages. We pray, you know, for the country and just for what is going on, that we will never take our eyes off our Heavenly Father, knowing that he will not give us more than we can handle. And there's always someone else whose journey, right, is worse off than our journey. Amen. And so we are here to be able to be an encourager. We're able to be able to give our testimony to others so that they can be lifted up and be drawn closer to Christ. So thank you, Sister Powell. And I know you asked about, I think you said a teacher minute. I'm sorry, I think I went over a teacher minute. So I'm going to give you, just run down some things that we have been searching for that are really, really good for you. And I think I've shared it, but it's fitting for us to repeat it again. Asparagus is good. I know a lot of people, you know, I mean, just have a lot of properties, cancer-fighting properties, asparagus, garlic, leeks, onions, and what's the other one? Spring onion, we call it scallion. Those are great things that we can infuse, ashwagandha. It's really, 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 really good, good for us. And so those are things that you can find, just regular thing. The ginger is always good, good for you. Some lemon water, simple things, you know. And people want to be able to go into, as this is Health Thursday, go into their pantry and go into their closets, you know, in their cupboards, and get things that are just easily available for them. So I just want to share that the turmeric is also good. As well, and you all know that, but it's worth and fitting for us to share those things so that individuals can utilize them on an everyday everyday basis. So thank you, Sister Powell, for opening up my line and continue to pray for us as we pray for you all, that God will keep us and we will be hold steadfast to him and lift up the standard, you know, that he has given us. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Powell, for opening up.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my dear beloved, for sharing and coming on the line, sharing, oh, goodness of God, and what you are doing, evangelizing to those, the lifter and everyone who you come in contact with. That's also a blessing. And also, you know, we have to give blessing when we heard all these praise reports. This little boy did not have much, but his mom was able to send him to school, and he was there in school clean. And there are many days he went to school without lunch, with no complaint, and he was so humble. Brothers and sisters, and we can find that we have it all over the world. We can find, you know, we see people are struggling, children are hungry, and God have given us so much, you know. So we have to remember those little ones in our prayer. We may not be able to reach them, but you know what? God is able, so we can lift them up. And who we can reach, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, let us stretch out our hands to help. just as what God have done. So thank you for sharing and also for your study. You know, it was hard, and most of the time I have to call to you. You're like when you was a child, I would call this call, how is the bookwork doing, going? And I thank God that God have given you the wisdom to complete and also to be successful and to still have all the grades that you need to put in. So God is good. He is so great. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, I'm going to start hoping some line. You know, tonight is El Thursday, but we have can lift up some prayer, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. There is no other time we need prayer. We need prayer now for our own self, you know, so that we will be faithful. Prayer for the war, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and also in Russia and all over the world. And also pray for our sister. So, you know, if we can get a few prayers after we start hoping the line, we can get a few prayers, and then after we will open for our sermon. So, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, let us breathe that everyone can share. So I'm going to open some line now that we can do some health tip, your little health tip, a teacher minute. We are giving everyone the opportunity. We start this evening, brothers and sisters, and it was very good, opening songs and scripture and prayer, and it was very, very interesting. Open 518-482, your line is open.
Good evening again, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful privilege to be here on this line this evening. And I just want to give God all the praise. And the first thing I would like to let us all know that experience has proven that liquid herbal extract bypass the digestive process and enter the bloodstream rapidly, which makes them one of the most effective ways for the body to absorb medical herbs. So when you want to use your herbs for medicine, try and get it liquefied, the liquid. It's very, very, what am I saying? It's very effective. Yes? He says, once assimilated, the herbs start working in your body within minutes. Alcohol is often one of the most effective means to extract the medical properties from the herbs. And it also has the ability to preserve the extract from spoiling. So that's why they put alcohol in it, but we should not use alcohol. At this suggested dose, you are getting a highly potent herbal formula with very little alcohol consumed. So when you use the alcohol to extract the herb from the herb, it's very, very effective, right? So that is my little tip for that today. And I want us to, as I read this quote from the spirit of prophecy, it says, oh boy, it says the purpose of all things we put in our body is to help us get back to the image of God. But if anything unholy is put into our system, how can we get back the image of God? Drugs, medication can remove symptoms of the disease, you hear? But it leaves the cause of the disease unchanged. And it leaves additional toxin for the body to deal with. We cannot concentrate. We cannot think. We are hallucinating. How can these drugs allow us to understand sacred truth? How can it possibly help us? And this I could see with my, right now I went today to see my brother. And, you know, when you get in these places, and they're giving you medication, this type of medication. It really don't help. It may be help you for a time, but it wouldn't help you to get out of there. I cannot understand how people can say they were healed by drugs. Jeremiah tells us, there is none to plead the cause, thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. Jeremiah 30:13. So we must go back to the word of God, and we must believe what he says, right? That we should not use these drugs, maybe. If we are very sick, you use them but for a time. But we shouldn't be, you know, keeping them, using them all the time, because it said we should never use it.
Amen.
This is another statement that she put here in her book. She says, by these use of poisonous drugs, many bring upon themselves the lifelong illness, and many lives are lost that might be saved by the use of natural methods of healing. So you see, that's why I believe in natural methods of healing. God has given us every herb for every disease that we have on the face of this earth. I truly believe that. I believe that to my heart. It says the poison contains in many so-called remedies create habits and appetites that mean ruin to both soul and body. Many of the popular nostrums called patent medicines, and even some of the drugs dispensed by physicians, act as a part in laying the foundation of liquor habit, the opium habit, the morphine habit that are so terrible a curse to society today. So I will stop right there. I wouldn't give you any more, because these are not my words. These are the words of
Amen.
From the spirit of prophecy. So, Sister Powell, I thank you. It's in my line. And I hope someone will be encouraged and be enlightened by knowing this evening. Thank you.
Amen.
I don't want to take up more of your time. Others have their chance.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, my dear beloved Sister Continelli, for sharing, always sharing your health tip, you know, and we know it's not your own word. Those are the word that came from the Lord, the word, all the word, the things natural. We just read a while ago that God gave us the herb, the leaf for the nation, and he also gave it to us for our meat. So we know that nothing beats natural remedy that the Lord gave us to use, and we have to be obedient in using these medicines. And we can find all of these medicines in our kitchen cabinet, right? It's right in our home. So, brothers and sisters, let us take use of it. Yes, so we are going to, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, lead into a prayer now, and then we are going to open the line for this speaker, right? So we're opening this line. My dear beloved, can you be brief and tell your name, where you're calling from? And I'm asking you, please, I am asking you, please, to lead us in prayer, short prayer, that we can start.
Sure, Sister Powell. Amen. Amen. Good. Hello, brothers and sisters. How are you today? My name's Brother Eli. How are you, beloved brothers and sisters? God is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Powell. He's awesome, God. He's a marvelous God. He's awesome. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Powell. I want to read Psalms 27, Sister Powell, and I want to sing a song, and I want to do a prayer for Sister Stephanie, my dear Sister Powell. She will feel blessed with that song. Psalms 27, verse 4, verse, Sister Power, Psalms 27, verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be a good courage, and he shall stir thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen and amen. Let me sing a song, Sister Power, for my dear Sister Stephanie. She will feel blessed with that song, Sister Power. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Sing, Sister Brown. Sing, Sister Stephanie. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Let me do a special prayer for Sister Power and everyone on this line. God, Heavenly Father, God, we magnify your name, Lord, at this moment, Lord. God, we praise your name because, God, you are good, God. You are faithful. God, you are worthy to be praised, God. How excellent is your name, Lord. God, we want to live for Sister Power, Lord, who is hosting, Lord. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. We ask you, God, to give Sister Power the strength, Lord. God, Sister Power lost her niece, Lord. We ask you, God, to give Sister Power the courage, Lord. Give her the strength, Lord. We ask you, God, to give Sister Power the victory, Lord. God, we ask you, God, lost Sister Power, God, stay strong in you, Lord. We ask you, God, to come deliver Sister Power, Lord. We ask you, God, to strengthen Sister Power, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Power, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to watch over Sister Power, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to cover Sister Power's door, God, with your blood, Lord. Cover every window, God, with your blood. Cover her door, God, with your blood. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko, Lord, who lost her aunt, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we ask God to give Sister Tamiko strength, Lord. Give Sister Tamiko courage, Lord. Allow her to be strong in you, Lord. Allow her to stay strong in you, Lord. God, allow her, God, allow her to know, God, Jesus is coming again. Lord, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, bless Sister Tamiko's family, Lord. Watch over her family, Lord. God, bless her mother, too, Lord. God, give her mother the strength, Lord. Give her, allow her mother to stay strong in you, Lord. God, we ask, God, you're able to do all things, God. God, you're mighty. God, you're the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords. God, we want to lift up everyone, God, in this line, God. We want to lift up Brother Mike to you, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Brother Mike, Lord. God, we ask God to give him the strength, Lord. Give him the victory, Lord. God, give him the victory, Lord. Allow him to listen to the word, God, while Sister Stephanie is going to preach on this line, Lord. Allow him to listen to your word, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, Lord. God, you're mighty. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're marvelous, God. How excellent is your name, Lord. God, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. God, you are so good, Lord. God, you are excellent. How excellent is your name, Lord. Bless everyone, God, in this line, God. Bless Sister Destinelli, God. Watch over Sister Destinelli. Watch over Sister Miola, God. God, watch over everyone, God. God, want to lift up Sister Stephanie, God, who's going to preach, Lord. God, we ask God to cover Sister Stephanie, God, with your blood. We ask God to give Sister Stephanie the victory, Lord. Give Sister Stephanie the strength, Lord. God, break every chain, God, for Sister Stephanie, Lord. God, we ask God to hide Sister Stephanie, Lord. God, cover Sister Stephanie, God, with your blood, Lord. God, cover Sister Stephanie, Lord. God, give her deliverance, Lord. God, allow her to bring a message of peace, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, of victory, Lord. Deliverance, Lord. God, come deliver Sister Stephanie tonight, Lord. Allow Sister to feel your presence, Lord. Allow her to shout hallelujah, Lord, because God, you are good for Sister Stephanie, God. Allow Sister Stephanie to shout hallelujah and say hallelujah, praise to the Lord. God, come bless Sister Stephanie's daughter, Lord. God, bless her daughter, bless her son, Lord. Bless KJ and Kaja, Lord. Allow them to shout hallelujah, Lord. God, allow Sister Stephanie to bring a song of praise, God. God, at this moment, God, bring a song of praise, God. God, we ask God to bring a song to Sister Stephanie, Lord. God, we ask God to strike her, Sister Stephanie, Lord. God,
amen.
Wait on the end and say hallelujah, Lord.
Amen.
That's Sister Power and Sister Stephanie, God. Watch over Sister Power and Sister Stephanie, Lord. Bless us, God.
Amen.
Watch over us, God.
Amen.
Give us the victory, God. God, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eli, for that prayer and also for that thing, that song, you know. Jesus is coming again, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, and we all have to be ready. And actually, Psalms 27 with my dear brothers and brother, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart, wait upon the Lord. All we have to do is to wait upon him. And to be faithful to him, he will strengthen us. I want to thank everyone who joined, and I'm going to offer another word of prayer. The next voice you will hear is the speaker, Sister Stephanie. And thank you again for joining. Father, we come before your throne again, we your children, giving you all the praise that due to you. We thank you for the song. We thank you for the scripture reading. We thank you for the testimony of praise. Lord, we thank you for your love that you have extended upon us, your word. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, for the natural remedy that you have given unto us from your servant, Lord. And we just give you all the praise, Lord. Words cannot express our gratitude towards you for all the things that you have done. We lift up tonight, dear Lord, continue to lift up every brother and sister on this line as Brother Eli. Lift up them, lift up these names. Lord, we lift up and we agree with all these names. We lift up our dear beloved Sister Katie and our son, Lord, our daughter-in-law, Dominique, and the children. We lift them up to you, Lord. You know every desire of the heart of these little ones and evil. Lord, we know that you have been keeping them and guiding them, so we leave them to you. And we thank you for Sister Katie. Continue to pour your blessings upon her, Lord. We also lift up, dear Father, those in Iraq and Iran, Lord. We lift them up to you. Lord, you know everything about them, Ukraine, Lord, and also, Father, those leaders, Lord Jesus, who are trying, Lord, to think that this world belongs to them. Dear Lord, we ask you to touch their heart and to know that they may know that you are in control. But we ask you to bless your people. Although they are going through difficulties, they are holding on to you, Lord, praying, singing, giving you praise for what you have done for them, dear Lord. Most of them are settled some other places, dear Lord, without anything, just the clothes on their back. They were not able to take anything with them. So we ask you, Lord, to provide for them and strengthen them, Lord, not to look on the things that they leave back, but to look upon you at this time. And also those little precious children, Lord, that you have given unto these parents, dear Lord, they are worried and troubled because some of these children separated from them. So we ask you, dear Lord, for comfort at this time. Bless us tonight, we pray. Thank you for each and every one of us here who join this line, Lord, and help us to be faithful, that when you shall burst the cloud of glory, Lord, when whether we are asleep or we are alive, we will be able to be caught up to meet you. Thank you for hearing, and thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, thanks again for joining. Welcome to everyone. And we are asking you, please, enter the Reform Night.
We are asking you please to get your notebook and your Bible and this and our Minister of Healing book, and we can take some notes that we can go and share wherever we go, right? God is good. Right? 240-988, your line is open. The next voice you will hear is the speaker. Thanks.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Sister Powell and Brother Eli, for your encouragement, for your song, for your prayer. It has certainly been a blessing. God is just so good. I just want us to just linger just a little bit longer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you and we know that your presence is here with us, I ask you, Lord, to touch my lips with cold, remove anything from me that is not in line with you. Forgive me of anything that I've done that is not in accordance with you, Heavenly Father, so that these prayers that are going up, Lord, will not be hindered. We ask you to touch us, change us, Heavenly Father. We want to become more like you. So remove anything from us that is not in line with what you have called us to do, Heavenly Father. But we ask you that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on us today so that we will be changed in your own image. We will become not only hearer of the words, but doer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering me and hide me in your bosom, Lord, and speak through me tonight. We ask all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And so we know with amen. All the things that are going on around us, right? I also shared, you know, when we look at things that are going on around us, and I remember my daughter had said that this was one of the events that she wanted to put together, right? Because we know that there are individuals that are least among us. Not that we have it, but God has blessed us with a little, right? And he says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And the much means he has blessed us with the gospel, right? We know that today is Health Thursday. We have New Start. Those are things that I've been sharing. Even within this class that I'm doing, these classes, you best believe I have the opportunity to infuse what I believe, right? To infuse New Start. Because as I've been learning, nutrition also impacts, you know, learning, right? And so depending what a child is consuming, what the child is being or the children are being fed, their brains are not able to absorb the information, right? And that's like a barrier. That's like an effective filter that, you know, one needs to look at. The same is true for us as adults. If we consume foods that are going to make us become drunk, right, it is going to impair our ability to communicate and to hear what the Holy Spirit has for us, right, to hear that message. And as I think about yesterday, I was on one of the study lines. Well, actually, it was prayer meeting they were having. And I went on there, and they were reading, I think it was chapter 74 of The Desire of Ages. And it was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think. It was that one or Judas. Don't quote me on that, but it was chapter 74. And I think back and I reflect on when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that the end was near for him. He knew that he had to, it was real now, right? He always knew it, right? But it was becoming closer now, right? And so he brought the disciples in with him, and he asked them to do what? What did he ask them to do? Watch. And pray.
Pray, watch, right? And pray for a whole.
Watch and pray. But they became sluggish. They became tired. And they fell in sleep, you know. And our Jesus Christ, our Savior, was agonizing with God. He was anxious. He was overwhelmed. And so we often think about, you know, oh, be anxious for nothing. No.
Christ went through these emotions, right? But what happened is he didn't stay there, right? He gave it to his Heavenly Father. He was in constant communion with his Heavenly Father. And so as we are looking at everything that is unfolding, we know that we're in the last days. We don't have to ask. The writing is on the wall. We're not saying that we know the hour. We know the date. No, that's absolutely not what we're saying, because we don't. But God says, the Word of God said that he's going to give us signs so that we know that his second coming is fast approaching. Because it's not like he's trying to get play, got you. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know how you play, what's that thing, red light? You know, when we were growing up, we played 1, 2, 3, red light, and the person turn around, you know, facing forward, and they turn around and try to catch you while you were moving. You know, God doesn't want to catch us on off guard or unprepared. So he has provided instructions. He has provided signs for us to know that his second coming is fast approaching. And so one of the takeaways for me is the fact that when our family fail, right, when our friends fail, Matthew 10:36, a man's soul shall be thine in thy neighbor in thy household or thine in thine household. So when our beloved ones that we think have their backs, or they are the ones that are there for us and have been there for us, when they have fought, when they've actually erred against us, when they have kind of like stab you in the back or pull the rug from under your feet, know that we have a Heavenly Father. We have Jesus Christ, our Savior, that is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. And he will never leave or forsake us. That's what the Word of God says. And that is sweet, right? So when mother forsake you, when father and husband and wife and best friends, right, siblings, children, when they forsake you and me, know that we have a God that has said, I will never leave or forsake you. And I remember when I was growing up, they would tell me an old adage, never say never, right? But Christ can say never. And we can rest assured that it is the truth, right? It is embedded. It's never changing. And so that is refreshing for me. And so what I'm going to do right now, thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading. We're going to go into, I want to do the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer, because, I mean, prayers can change all things. Prayer is powerful. It is necessary for us to embark on. I'm trying to clipsify my little post. It just kind of came out. So I'm going to go into the privilege of prayer. Where did you go? Nothing just moved. Heavenly Father, be with us. Linger with us for a minute. We know that the enemy, my post-it just fell out of my part. All right, let's go. Let's see. All right, here we go. The privilege of prayer. And I'm in the chapter that said, can you hear me, Sister Powell? A higher experience. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah. You're breaking
okay.
Up a little.
All right, cool. All right, amen. And I know you went over, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in good health, as their soul prospereth, right? You read that already, right? We're not going to belabor it. And so go back and look at the third epistle of John, and that's from the New Testament, and the Old Testament is Genesis 1, 29 and 30. And so the privilege of prayer, I'm on page 507 through 509, and I'm in a higher experience, all right? And we can take this example as we, you know, connect the story from the Desire of Ages with Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he understood the privilege of prayer. What did it do for him? It strengthened him, right? It encouraged him, even when his disciples were not able to do the task that, and we could say the simple task that was given. Is that us? Is that us? Amen. And so we pray that we will be able to endure till the end. Amen. And so it says, we too must have times set apart for meditation and prayer and for receiving spiritual refreshing. We do not value the power and efficacy of prayer as we should. Prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. I'm going to read that again. Prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. And there is a text that says it is impossible to please God without what?
Prayer.
Without faith. Without faith. Impossible. Right? So it says prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. We are seldom in all respect placed in the same position. We are seldom in all respect placed in the same position twice. So we never experience the same exact thing. It might be similar, but it's not the same exact thing. We continually have new scenes and new what? New trials to pass through where past experience cannot be a sufficient guide. All right? We must have the continual light that comes from God. So it doesn't matter the storm that you're in, the trials that you're going through, your circumstances, your situation, your issues, that doesn't matter, right? We continually have new scenes and new trials to pass through where past experience cannot be sufficient guide. We must have the continual light that comes from God. And so I did not finish my last statement. So it doesn't matter your circumstances, your issues, your situation, your trials, your storm, the fiery furnace that you're going through. You must have the continual light that comes from God. So you must be able to present that light, right? Count it all joy, not to murmur. As I shared about that young man, Delano Tucker actually is his name, the way how their life, you know, and the young man was so humble, he did not make that stop him. He did not use it as a deterrent, right? Many times we are so victimized. We want to, oh me and oh my, woe is me, right? And we question, why me? Why this? Why that? But God says to count it all joy, right? He's working something out within us. He's allowing us to be able to have a testimony, amen, to use this opportunity to bring his light, to profess, to present the everlasting gospel, to present the right arm of the gospel to individuals. How wonderful it is to know that someone can say, you know what, I'm experiencing this. Right, I have a headache, and you can say, okay, how much water are you drinking? Right, are you drinking enough water? You can say to somebody when they're telling you, you know, I'm having difficulties going to the bathroom, and you can have this conversation with them to say, are you eating enough fruits and vegetables because those are fiber, you know, that will allow you to go, you know, about the water that you're drinking. These are conversations that you can have that is the wedge. People want to hear that. They want to know that nobody wants to go to the doctor now. You know that. Nobody wants to go to the hospital. With this pestilence going on, people rather stay at home. So as you're coming in contact with them, you can share things with them. You know, have you thought about, you know, doing some hydrotherapy, you know, hot, cold, you know, type of bath when you're doing that? Are you, you know, when you're taking your shower, are you, those are things that, and they're free. They're free. What time do you go to bed? Are you getting enough rest? Right? Are you utilizing the, you know, walking outside, getting some fresh air? Are you being temperate in all things? You see how we going through? What are we going through? Can you pick it up? The new start. Simple conversation you're having with individuals. Are you trusting and believing that God said that he's going to take care of you? God's plan is the best for our life. Do you believe that? And so I just want you to ponder on that, right? It says, Christ is ever sending messages to those who listen for his voice. So let me ask you a question. If you're not listening to his voice, are you going to hear him? Are you going to hear what's your Heavenly Father, what's your Abba, your Jehovah Jireh, what he has to say to you? If you're not listening to him, if you're not listening to his voice, if we're clouded and our minds and our body are clouded with the junk that we know we're not supposed to eat, that we eat, and then you eat it and you start feeling lethargic and sleepy, your eyes can't keep up to be able to read, to study, can't even keep up to pray. Right? And it says, Christ is ever sending messages to those who listen for his voice. On the night of the agony in Gethsemane, that's what we were talking about. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You're so good. The sleeping disciple heard not the voice of Jesus. They had a dim sense of the angel's presence, but lost the power and glory of the scene. Is that us? Is our light being dimmed? Are we losing the power and glory of our Heavenly Father? And let's see why. Because of their drowsiness and stupor, they failed of receiving the evidence that would have strengthened their souls for the terrible scene before them. Thus today, the very men who most need divine instruction often fail of receiving it because they do not place themselves in what? In communion with heaven. I was sharing with Sister Powell, you know, yes, she has been a real, encourager, and she had, you know, was calling me, and I had a timeline for myself. And you see, the devil is, he just so busy. He wants to block your joy, and you know, but we know that he's a defeated foe. So I put it out there in the atmosphere, and I said, you know what? Tomorrow, you know, I'm going to finish my next modular for this class that I have. And I'm telling you, beloved, I was, you know, I read the whole book. I was just reading. I was in my doctor's office. I was reading. I was in the lift. I was reading. I wasn't playing. I was reading because I had a plan. I had a goal. I said, God, you've given me the strength, and I know I'm going to knock it out. And let me tell you what that dirty serpent did. And I usually don't do this. I usually don't type my work, right? I usually write it down. You know, I'm so old school. I usually write it down in my book and then type it, right? And so I did some of it that way, but majority of it I was just kind of, you know, as it came to me, I was just writing it down after I read it. And God is so good. I'm telling you, I got up this morning. Actually, yesterday, and I was, the Holy Spirit was just bringing back to me the things that I had read for this class and was telling me what I needed to write. And I was like, Holy Spirit, you're just so awesome. And so I wrote up the stuff, and then all of a sudden, I couldn't find it. I could not find it. I mean, I was finding everything else. I was clicking on stuff, and it was coming up blank. And we know that it's there. right? Because nothing is really deleted on the computer, just to let y'all know. Even when you think you deleted, it's not deleted. It's somewhere. Somebody who's very knowledgeable, IT. I didn't call my nephew. I have a nephew that is in IT, but I didn't call him. I was trying to figure it out. And then I got so discouraged, right? I was like, you know what, devil? You know, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You're not going to get me upset. You know, you're not going to take my salvation. Not prayed, you know. And I said, you know what, God, just give me the strength and stuff. But, you know, I went to bed, you know, because I need to be temperate. I need some rest. And so I went to bed, and I got up this morning, and, you know, after praying and everything, and I was like, God, please help me to find it. And lo and behold, I found one. I found one that has most of my updated version. It doesn't have all of the things that I had written, but it has most of my updated version. I was like, thank you, Jesus, because, you know, when you're writing it down on the computer, you can't remember everything that you have written, right? And I told you I had to read, like, for this particular one, I had to read, like, 8 chapters, you know, and respond to this first module. And so I thank God for answering prayer. And sometimes we think things are so small. You know, we look at it and we're like, we don't want to worry God because it's so small. No, but no, He wants to hear from you every single step. He wants you to come to Him, and that is so awesome. We can never tired our Heavenly Father. We can never tire Him, right? And I know, just remembering, you know, my parents. Sometimes they'll say, you know what, go sit over there. You know what I mean? Because we would say, mama, mama, daddy, daddy, and, you know, just bother them, you know. And sometimes they have to say, you know, they have to tell you to go sit down for a minute, relax. You know what I mean? They need a break. But, and even for me as a parent now, sometimes I need a break. You know, I tell people that, you know, I coined the term, so don't try to coin the term, right? Copyright the term. I'm a 10-month mom. That's what I used to tell people, right? Because so I have my kids for 10 months, and then when that summer comes, I'm sending them off to somebody. They going up to grandma. They going up to, you know, to uncle, to auntie, to godparents. They're going up for that 2 months. They're going somewhere other than in my space. Amen. And so, but that's not what God is, right? God didn't try to push us away, you know, deal with us for 10 months of the year and then push us away for the next 2 months. That's not God. We can go to Him every single moment. And He wants us to come to Him every single moment. He wants us to seek Him so that He can give us the direction. How beautiful is that, beloved? That is just beautiful. So I continue. It says here, they had a dim sense of the angels' presence, but lost the power and glory of the scene. Because of their drowsiness and stupor, they failed of receiving the evidence that would have strengthened their souls for the terrible scene before them. Thus today, the very men who most need divine instruction often fail of receiving it. I reread that again. Thank you, because it needs to be embedded in us. Because they do not place themselves in what? In communion with heaven. Are we to have daily communion with heaven? Absolutely. That's the only way we're going to be able to overcome the wiles and the temptation. And so let's see what the next chapter said, the next paragraph said. It says, the temptation to which we are daily exposed make prayer a necessity. What is something that is necessary? We can't live without it, right? As a science teacher, I would tell my kids that, you know, these are the things that we cannot live without. We cannot live without air. We cannot live without water, right? We cannot live without food, right? Yeah, we could fast, but we cannot live without it for a long period of time, right? We need shelter. We need something to kind of keep out the elements, right? And so these are things that we can't live without. But we, as we're reading, and those are necessities, right? But here it is saying, the temptation to which we are daily exposed makes prayer a necessity, something that you cannot live without. Dangers beset every path. Those who are seeking to rescue others from vice and ruin are especially exposed to temptation. And we're seeing it now. even more so than ever. In constant contact with evil, they need a stronghold upon God, lest they themselves be corrupted. Short and decisive are the steps that lead men down from high and holy ground to a low level. I'm going to read that again. Short and decisive are the steps that lead men down from high and holy ground to a level, to a low level. In a moment, decisions may be made that fix one's condition forever. One failure to overcome leaves the soul, what? Unguarded. One evil habit, if not firmly resisted, will strengthen into chains of steel, binding the whole man. Binding the whole man. All right, one evil habit, if not firmly resisted, will strengthen into chains of steel, binding the whole man. And there's a popular saying that one, what is it called? One bad apple spoiled a bunch. This is what this is saying.
Uh-huh.
The reason why so many are left to themselves in places of temptation is that they do not set the Lord always before them. Is this what we need to hear in due season on this Health Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
The reason why so many are left to themselves in places of temptation is that they do not set the Lord always before them. Isn't that something how the enemy will allow us to do everything? I mean, we'll have time, we'll be alert, we'll be up, I mean, and kicking. We could watch hours of stuff that is not spiritual, and all, we could hear frivolous conversation, but the moment we are to set aside to do something for God, the distraction that the enemy brings our way. Y'all notice that, or is this me? I mean, I know y'all wonderful Seventh-day Adventist folks don't go through that, you know, but I'm saying for me, so many distractions I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I was like, in the name of Jesus, why am I feeling tired? Why are my eyelids falling down? When I was just watching this foolishness for hours, you know what I mean? And I was like, oh, the trick of the devil. But we rebuke it and we bound it up in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so we continue. It says, when we permit our communion with God to be broken, our defense is departed from us. I am going to read that again. When we permit our communion with God to be broken, our defense is departed from us. Not all your good purposes and good intentions will enable you to withstand evil. Not all your good purposes and good intentions will enable you to withstand evil. You must, to be men and women of prayer, you must be men and women of prayer. And it doesn't mean these long, you know, because sometimes, you know, we don't really know how to pray, right? Sometimes some of the things that we're saying are public speaking. And so we have to ask God to lead us into prayer. Amen. And sometimes we just need to give God thanks. Thank you, God. And I pray that you will lead me into what your will is for my life, right? Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Be men and women of prayer. Your petitions must not be faint, right? So that means it shouldn't be long drawn out. Holy Spirit, come on, are you talking to me? Your petition must not be faint, occasional, and fitful, but earnest, persevering, and constant. What makes us faint? You know what I mean? We don't want something that is going to worry the sin. We don't want something that is just hurry, dash, the haberdashery really quick stuff now, but we want to ask God to lead us, give us the right words to say. Amen. It is not always necessary to bow upon your knees in order to pray, right? Because sometimes that's not practical. If I'm driving on the road, right, and I'm feeling, I need a prayer right now. I can't kneel down. So we got to use common sense and we got to use practicality, right? Amen. If you're walking on the street and somebody, you ask, can I pray for you? Somebody say pray for you. You're not going to kneel down on the street, and so we got to be wise as a serpent and harmless like a dove. It says it is not always necessary to bow upon your knees in order to pray. And I'm not sure if I said this earlier. Please forgive me. I apologize. I am reading from the Ministry of Healing. Amen. And so I'm sorry. I don't remember saying that earlier. And so please forgive me. I am in a higher experience. I did say that. And I'm reading the privilege of prayer because I know, for me, the power of prayer. And I could not and would not be here had it not been the privilege of prayer. I know even when I wasn't praying for myself, when I was hard-headed, when I was a heathen, when I was doing things that I wasn't supposed to do, as Paul said, the things I'm supposed to do, I don't do it. And the things that I do, the things that I'm not supposed to do is what I do. And I know that it was the prayer of the righteous that availed much. It wasn't me, and so as we're seeing so many things that are going on around us, children are dying, babies are dying, young people, as I said before, it is heartbreaking for me. I have decided to, being a mother and a parent of two young persons and knowing that individuals 26 and 18 and 10 and 13 have resorted to take their lives because life has become too much for them. The mental issues that they're struggling with was not dealt with. And so it has been a burden on my heart for my young people to say, come, let me tell you about a man who has told me everything about myself and can give you the fountain, can give you food that you will never hungry again and you will never thirst again. But many times as the elder, we're not pleasant. We're not, they don't want to be around us because we're hypocritical, right? We're not honest. We say one thing and we do another. And let me tell you, these young people, they want people to be transparent. They're not like us that wasn't, you're doing something and they not say no. They're going to call you on it. And I think that is such a deterrent for them when we as the elder are doing contrary, right? We're bickering. We're fighting one another. When we make a mistake, we are not humble enough, right, to say, you know what, I'm so sorry. And I check myself a minute because just like I tell my kids, you know what, you are like the devil, your father, the devil. I don't like that attitude. So it's true for me, right? And I actually have to the Holy Spirit will prick me and say, wait a minute, you didn't say that right. I didn't give you that permission to say it in that tone or in that way. And I have to call right there and then and say, you know what? I'm so sorry, forgive me. Because we're not above being reproved. We're not above being corrected. And so how can we present the word when we have aught with our brother, right? And there's a thing where if I present the word to you, if I bring the message to you and you have rejected it, oh, yeah, I've gotten the command to dust my feet off and keep it going, right? Because you have the spirit of discernment and you can know when someone is something to you and it's not the spirit of God. The fruit is not giving you the spirit of God. So you can say, you know what? Deuces. You know what I mean? That's what the young people say. Okay, I'm dusting my feet off later. And that doesn't mean that you hate the person. You continue to pray for the person. But if you know that you have aught with your brother, aught with your sister, it behooves you according to what the Word of God say, to go ahead and deal with that. And none of us are above reproof or correction, are above doing things that the Holy Spirit didn't tell us to do it, and we did it anyway. And so what do we do? Do we continue to boast in our self-righteousness, to bask in the self-righteousness? Now, you said, you know what, God, forgive me, and then you go to that person and talk it out. Right? That is the example that God has given us. And many times we hold on to that self, and that's one of the things that is hard, right? The lust of the flesh, right? We have to die of self so that we are not giving the wrong example to individuals. They're like, you know, I've heard this a lot of times, and you have heard it too. These Christian folks, oh my goodness, they're worse than the world. And as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, for his kingdom, for our Heavenly Father, we represent him. How is it we're representing him? Because we can't profess that we're representing Christ and who we have not seen, that we love so much, but our brother and our sister that are there, we're not showing them love. And as I'm learning and I'm growing in Christ and reading and studying, I fully now understand when he said, depart from me, I know you not. And then what was the next response? Haven't I not prophesied in your name? Let that not be us. Amen and amen. So I wrap up, Sister Powell. I'm wrapping up. And so I am here where it says, Those who are seeking to rescue. Did I read that or did I flip my page? Hold on.
Let the earth be continually uplifted.
And what paragraph is that, Sister Powell?
You are in the third paragraph. Your petition must not be a faint below that.
Okay, I got you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sister Powell, the host of this program. She keeps us going. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I got it. Thank you so much. Your petition must not be faint, occasional, and fitful, but earnest, persevering, and constant. It is not always necessary to bow upon your knees in order to pray. Cultivate the habit of talking with the Savior when you are alone, when you are walking, and when you are busy with your daily labor. Let the heart be continually uplifted in silent petition for help, for light, for strength, for knowledge. Let every breath be a prayer. How beautiful is that?
Mm-hmm.
Let every breath be a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And let our children see us praying. Let our grandchildren see us praying. I heard a nice praise report, Sister Powell used to take care of some wonderful, lovely young little girls. Now they're young ladies, 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, right? They're in double digits, some of them. And we heard that one of them was praying for her aunt, right? Praying, and she was like, oh, my goodness. And she was praying some real prayer. And I remember when I used to visit Sister Powell's house, these kids were praying. I'm telling you, I was looking like, oh, my goodness. They were praying like they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. I was like, look at that. And they were reciting Psalms 91 and all of that stuff. And I was like, and look at that. And so let our young people see us praying. My kids, they know. I'll be like, let's pray to God. Let's take it to God in prayer. Amen. Amen and amen. And it says, let every breath be a prayer. Not only when we're in trouble, not only when we're in trials, also when it's good, right? Let every breath be a prayer. As workers for God, we must reach men where they are, surrounded with darkness, sunken in vice, and stained with corruption. But while we stay our minds upon him who is our sun and our shield, the evil that surrounds us will not bring one stain upon our garments. How beautiful is that? As we work to save the souls that are ready to perish, we shall not be put to shame if we make God our trust. Hallelujah. Christ in the heart, Christ in the life, this is our safety. The atmosphere of his presence will fill the soul with abhorrence of all that is evil. Our spirit may be so identified with his that in thought and aim we shall be one with him. It was through faith and prayer that Jacob, from being a man of feebleness and sin, became a prince with God. It is thus that you may become men and women of high and holy purpose, of noble life, men and women who will not, for any consideration, be swayed from truth, right, and justice. All are pressed with urgent cares, burdens, and duties. But the more difficult your position and the heavier your burden, the more you need Jesus. All are pressed with urgent care, burdens, and duties. But the more difficult your position and the heavier your burdens, the more you need Jesus. It is a serious mistake to neglect the public worship of God. The privilege of divine service should not be lightly regarded. Those who attend upon the sick are often unable to avail themselves of these privileges, but they should be careful not to absent themselves needless from the house of worship. In ministering to the sick, more than in any merely secular business, success depends on the spirit of consecration and self-sacrifice with which the work is done. Those who bear responsibility need to place themselves where they will be deeply impressed by the Spirit of God. You should have as much greater anxiety than do others for the aid of the Holy Spirit and for a knowledge of God, as your position of trust is more responsible than that of others. I'm almost done. Nothing is more needed in our work than the practical results of communion with God. We should show by our daily life that we have peace and rest in the Savior. His peace in the heart will shine forth in the countenance. It will give to the voice a persuasive power. Communion with God will ennoble the character and the life. Thank you. Men will take knowledge of us as of the first disciples, that we have been with Jesus. This will impart to the worker a power that nothing else can give. Of this power, he must not allow himself to be deprived. We must live a twofold life, a life of thought and action, of silent prayer and earnest work. The strength received through communion with God, united with earnest effort in training the mind to thoughtfulness and caretaking, prepares one for daily duties and keeps the spirit in peace under all circumstances, however trying. Here ends the reading for tonight.
Amen.
And I pray that you were blessed. I know I was blessed. I know that it was like medicine to my bones, because we came full circle. We started off by talking about it doesn't matter our circumstances, it doesn't matter the trials, the storm, how trying our life is. As long as we're in constant communion with God,
he
will be victorious in the battle. And so if you have any commentary, any query, any feedback, you know, you can take a moment to do that. But I know I was blessed by this scripture, and I pray that you were too as well.
Okay, can you lead us in prayer, closing prayer? And then
yes, I certainly can. I certainly can. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you for your word in due season, because we know that without prayer, we are nothing. Without prayer, we will not be able to overcome the wiles and the temptation of the evil one. So thank you, Lord, as we leave tonight, let us be reminded that it is our responsibility, if we are claiming that we are ambassador for you, if we're claiming that you are in control of our life, we pray that you will remind us that we need, in order to have a higher experience with you, we need to commune with you in every situation. Let every step that we take be infused with prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for hearing. And as we leave, Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, not to depart from us, but be with everyone that is on this line, Heavenly Father. Give them a Holy Spirit revival. Agitate our hearts so that we can be fully surrendered to you. And we will not be found stupering. We will not be found sleeping, but we will be found praying, communing with you, knowing that the battle is yours, knowing that there's victory. There's victory in our Heavenly Father, in the battles that you fight. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for this presentation. And I thank everyone who joined here, you know, that we could really fellowship tonight and listen to this new bread from heaven. It comes new. How big with the privilege of prayer is for each one of us. And we are encouraging our brothers and sisters. Let us set aside time in praying, right? Only prayer can carry us through all what is going on. And let us continue to read these wonderful promises and comfort to our soul, you know, so that we can be as representative to go and share. I'm asking you, if anyone have a question or query, you can just put down star six, and you can press 1 again if you have something you didn't understand. If you want to ask Sister Stephanie, you can take off yourself off the line, star 6, and press 1 for the subject that we are just read a while ago. Okay. All right. It seems like everyone finds see the need, and our determination is to continue to lift up Christ in prayer. I don't know. I just like Sister Carla, like I opened this one. 423, I don't know if you identify that you have something to say.
Yes, yes. thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. That was a powerful reading, and I just thank the Lord for hearing it and for the message. And I just wanted to know, because I missed where you were reading from the book and the page, so if you can please give me that again, give us that so I can go back and reread it and share it with others also.
The Ministry of Healing, the last page, 222, okay. In the Happiness Digest.
Okay. Thank you.
At the back, the last chapter at the back in this one.
Okay, then.
The Ministry. You get it, Sister Carla? You got it?
Yes. Yes. I wrote it down. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank
All right.
you.
Yes, my. Yes. Thank you, Sister Carlo. And thank you to my dear beloved brothers and sisters who joined tonight. I know it was a powerful, powerful message, right? And as we know that we are the ambassador and representative of Christ, we have a work to perform, right? And we have to build up our prayer life, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. That's the reason why I give God thanks for us here on this group. And thank God that he has allowed us, you know, to hold on, you know, and together, you know, to be united on this group that we are faithful, you know, in both reading these words and also in our prayer life. It helped me. I can say myself, you know, this group helped me and build up my prayer life. And I just want to thank God for using every one of us on this line. And I want to let you know that, you know what, we have a reward, that the Lord promised that he has a reward in heaven for us. So thank you all for joining and have a blessed night. You know, we have a little overtime, but, you know, it's a little broader. And we know that the reading was very powerful. So we want to thank you again. And I will just close off with just a few words of this song.
Soaring above, thy clouds rejoice.